Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. If you've never used our challenges before, they're a way for us to keep in sync as a community, learning what it means to follow Jesus together, even when we can't be together in person. We follow a rhythm so we can keep in sync that starts every Monday with a new idea. Every Tuesday, we study in the Bible. Every Wednesday, we try to see how that changes and transforms our thinking. And every Thursday, we try to apply and live it out. Friday's a day for prayer and reflection, Saturday's a day for rest, and then Sunday's a day for community. And these videos will guide you through that each day. If you've never explored what it means to follow Jesus before, then I'd encourage you to start with our Christianity 101 course. It'll introduce a lot of the basic concepts that we build on with these challenges. Right now we're working through a series called Pioneer Story, where we're studying the book of Acts together, a book in the Bible that tells the story of the very first followers of Jesus and how they first organized themselves as a new community called the church. This week in particular, we're talking about pioneers and philosophers, what happened when some of those first Christian communicators met up with some highly intellectual philosophers in Athens. Many years ago, a friend of mine gave me a book that she just loved. It was called Sophie's World. And it was written as a novel, but it was really meant to educate about philosophy. The protagonist in the novel would travel around to different places in the world in different eras and meet different key philosophers and deep thinkers in history. Now, I discovered a whole world of deep thinking, new ideas, old ideas that I hadn't heard before and so on. It was fascinating to read about philosophy and to discover this, but I don't think it quite had the effect my friend was hoping for. I think she was really hoping that I would consider Jesus as one among many great teachers and moral teachers in history. I think that's kind of what she was hoping would happen, and it's not what happened. What I found was that Jesus was actually the fulfillment of what all those different philosophers and teachers had been looking for. Here they were all seeking after truth of one kind or another in a never-ending quest. They never seemed to quite land on the ultimate truth. And that's who Jesus describes himself to be, and that's who others describe Jesus to be. And I began to see Jesus as actually what all these people had been looking for when, in the words of U2, they still hadn't found what they were looking for. Now, I think it drove my friend crazy that that had happened because she'd really hoped that this book would knock me out of my naive view of Christian faith. I think that's how she saw it, and unfortunately how a lot of people see Christian faith or religion in general. They'll see it as something that naive, anti-intellectual people believe, 10 things they believe before breakfast, and that kind of thing. It's easy to look down on those who believe different things from us. Richard Dawkins is probably the key example of this. A brilliant scientist, by all accounts, who wrote some popular science books a few decades ago, but has since really taken on religion as his crusade. He really wants to live in a world with no religion and see it destroyed. And so he's taken that on, and he's actually starting to embarrass himself more and more with his tweets. Unfortunately, Richard Dawkins has just gotten angrier and angrier over the years, to the point that he's now actually showing all the characteristics of fundamentalist religion that he claims to decry. Suddenly, it seems like he just can't stand the thought of anybody disagreeing with him and his views on science and how science influences every single area of life. One article that just came out this week from a British newspaper described him this way. A man so convinced that he possesses godlike powers of omniscience that he can't understand why everybody is angry at him for pointing out the obvious. It's clear that Richard Dawkins and those who kind of follow his writings really consider anybody who believes in Christianity or religion to be naive or unintellectual, somebody who just doesn't get it, who just doesn't look at the world the way they do, and they believe that they look at the world the right way. You see, in order to consider somebody else naive, you have to think you know better. You have to be very convinced that you have the truth and the other person doesn't. And it's a very risky thing to do, because it's always possible that you'll be proven wrong. Unless you are the source of all truth, his name Jesus Christ, it's always possible that you're gonna discover one day that you actually didn't have the truth all locked up. So we need to be really, really careful about calling somebody naive. Unless we know it's coming from the source of all truth, we can't hold to anything that's just our own and claim that anybody who doesn't agree with us is naive. The only way we can do that is if we are believing something completely consistent with the source of all truth, named Jesus. I hope you can see now that it's dangerous to call somebody naive or to, in any way, proclaim your intellectual superiority over somebody else. If you're going to do that, you've got to be really careful and to know that what you're claiming to be truth comes from a source outside of yourself, that you're not setting yourself up as the ultimate source of truth, because then you'd be taking God's place. And God's the only ultimate source of truth, and so we want to make sure if we are claiming to be right when somebody else is wrong, that we're clinging to God's truth, not just our own. The risk, of course, is that if we are claiming other people are unsophisticated or not as smart as we are, that little word will boomerang around on us and we'll suddenly realize we were the ones who were naive. If we find out they were right and we were wrong, then we realize we're the unsophisticated, naive, unintellectual ones. And that's not a bad thing for us to realize sometimes, because it helps us see that we are not God. We are not the source of all truth in this world, but we could get a lot out of worshiping and following the one who is. And that's what we're going to see this week. We're going to explore a story this week from the book of Acts where Paul, an early Christian communicator, went to Athens, a Greek city, a hotbed of philosophy. And he encountered some philosophers there who were pretty sure he didn't know what he was talking about, and they laughed at him, called him a babbler. But then, thankfully, they gave him a second chance, and listening to him might have changed their lives. That's the story we'll see this week, but first I've got a question for you to think about and to discuss with some friends, neighbors, colleagues, just anybody in your life who you can be sharing these challenges with, sharing discussions with, and growing together as followers of Jesus. Who have you ever wrongly considered to be less intelligent? How did they surprise you, and what did you learn in the process? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.